Okay, Sam, we're going to wait 1 minute and then we're going to start. Okay. We had a bad experience before, so I have to be very, very strict about who comes and doesn't come. So everyone has to be carefully, carefully. Screen. Another minute, Sam. Sam, just because I'm getting confused with all the shiurim, you follow the link for the Makot shiur, right? I just want to make sure all the links are working, right?
Yeah, this is for the Makot shiur.
Okay, great. I'm just going to, you saw what happened earlier today, so I just have to make sure that everyone is muted, and I think I found the way to be in complete control, so thank you.
Yeah. I think the same thing happened with Dr. Tova's shiur.
Someone got hold of it?
Yeah.
Second, here's another person. All right, Jacob's coming. Okay, we're going to start the shiur. Okay, welcome everyone to the shiur. The goal of the shiur is to take a fresh look at the Makos, and a specific look is to see what we're experiencing, because obviously the Makot were directed at the Egyptians, trying to punish them, to break their will. But there are also lessons, moral lessons, theological lessons, cultural lessons. And those are lessons that we should learn also about the world we've created. And we have takeaways from the coronavirus that we're all struggling with mutually and universally. So tonight I want to talk about, since it's the second shiur, it's Tzfardea. And you'd be surprised. You wouldn't really feel there's that much in common between Tzfardea and between the corona crisis that we're suffering. And a lot of boys are listening in South Africa, and you're thank God you're getting ahead of the curve. But you're really a week or two behind where some of the people in the States and Israel have been, and So some of these things will hopefully unfold in a proper way with proper safeguards and prioritization and not with the type of casualties and the illnesses some of the other countries are facing. One of the things that's very striking about the Tzvardea Maka is the penetration. If you're an Egyptian and you're in your home, in your living room, in your mansion, you really didn't feel the potency of Maka's dam. Of course, you didn't have water to drink, so that was a major inconvenience, and water to clean yourself with, but you could escape the experience of the Maka by going inside, by going to the house. The home is a safe place. But when the Maka of Tzvardea is described, the Torah describes complete penetration. When Moshe or Aaron informs, when Moshe informs Paro, he's told, Moshe tells Paro, Vishara Tayor Tzvardim, these Tzvardeas, and I'm not going to define Tzvardea for you, we'll talk about that later. The Alu, they will arise from the Nile. Uva'u, and they will enter Bivesecha, your home, Chadar Mishkavcha, your bedroom, Mitasecha, your bed, Beis Avodecha Ve'amecha, your slaves' quarters, your people, Tanurecha, your ovens, your kitchens, Misharasecha, Uvecha, you, V'amcha, your people, V'chal Avodecha, a lot of repetition. Chazal have many drashos for each of these words, but one thing you see, no place was safe. And that was a seismic shift from previous Makos and even further Makos. You couldn't escape it. Now, the home is meant to be a safe place. What happens when that home becomes the scene of terror? You don't really have this in too many other instances. The Deber was out in the field. The Shechin, you could quarantine yourself. So there's a certain fear and panic where the safe places are turned into places of infestation. There's a pasuk, let me see if I can get the pasuk out for you, and I'll try to place it on the screen if I can. Allah maves b'chaloneinu, that when Yirmiyah describes the Churban, talks about the fact that the death already entered the windows, their homes. There was no place to hide. They were facing death at every location. Let me see if I can just get up the pasuk for you. I apologize. Allah maves. Right, so it's Yirmiyah Parak Tes, Pasechaf, he's describing the Churban, ki Allah maves b'chaloneinu. The death has come into our windows. Ba be'armenoseinu, has entered our palaces. Lachris olal, to take away our children, michutz bachorim erchovot, and to take away the young kids from the streets. And I think we're feeling some of that also, because sadly, communities, homes, families, especially in close quarters, and a lot of the ultra-Orthodox people in Israel, because they live in such close quarters, in a lot of internal contagion and a lot of families passing it on. And so on the one hand, the family, nuclear families become a safe haven, and that's where we're asked to quarantine and spend a lot of time with each other, protecting each other and sharing. But our communities have also been the source of infection, and we live together. We're proud of the fact that we have communities, we live together, and we share each other time in their own and time in each other's homes and each other's families. We didn't find out in time in many areas, and in this case, we have to take a slight break from real contact as a community. Part of what made it so frightening was that it penetrated even into the inner chambers, husband and wife, kitchen, food was passed on. That's something we think about a lot. What happens when the safe places in your life turn out to be petri dishes for infestation? That's one thing I wanted to talk about. The second thing is there was an auditory element to Makas Tzvardea. Frogs are the loudest, most incessant animals. They don't stop. You hear them croaking the entire time. And Chazal highlight, these are not aspects of the Maka that you often think about, but Chazal highlight how loud it was, how there was constant croaking, how panic-struck people were, how these, now listen carefully, how these frogs, or maybe they weren't frogs. What were Tzvardea? So in the modern Hebrew, Tzvardea is a frog. But according to some Rishonim, they weren't frogs. They were alligators. Alligators that came up from the Nile and grabbed little babies from their rooms when parents weren't watching, as the adults could watch and be careful, but the babies and the children. Now, why would a Tzvardea be an alligator? So See, an alligator has very, very thick teeth. They don't cut through like sharks. They have thick molars. So an alligator doesn't kill you by cutting through your flesh. He grabs onto you. And once he grabs onto you, he can't break that grip. And then he takes its prey into what's called a death roll under the water and suffocates the victim, and the victim dies, and then it slowly eats the flesh. And the problem with big teeth is the meat gets caught in between the teeth. And alligators can't really use toothpicks. So they have a symbiotic relationship with a long-beaked bird whose beak goes in between the teeth to take out the flesh. And he eats the leftover meat from the alligator. The alligator obviously doesn't consume this bird because he needs it, dependent on it. You ever see these ancient renditions of alligators or crocodiles with these long-legged birds nearby? Now, the ancients believed that when the birds chirped, it was prophetic. How would you say in Hebrew a prophetic bird, a bird that knows the future? Well, the word for bird is a tzipor, and the word for knowing is yodea. So now say those three words to yourself together. Tzipor, yodea, tzipor, yodea, tzipor, yodea. What do you get? Tzverdea. Take a look at the Abarbanel, take a look at the Rabbeinu Bachaye. They weren't just frogs croaking, but these panic monsters. Remember, these are very thick-skinned monsters. You can't really spear them or cut them with a knife. We can shoot them. We can, dynamite. But the ancient forms of warfare, you can't really penetrate the scales of an alligator with your sword or your bow and arrow. There's a lot of croaking, a lot of loudness, a lot of sleeplessness, a lot of panic. Doesn't stop. Came into the bedrooms. We talked about the bedroom before. The two words in the description of Makas Bechoros that clue Chazal into the fact that it's very loud, is a lot of panic. It's first of all a word I quoted before. It's in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chavtes, Uvecha Uveamecha. They entered you and your nation. Now the word Vecha should be spelled Bet Chaf, Uvecha. Here it's spelled Bet Chaf He. There's the extra He. The word Becha should be spelled Be. Let me see if I can get a chalkboard so I can just write out. So a whiteboard would be as follows. If I use a whiteboard, I would write becha like follows. This is how I would write the word becha. As it says, uvecha would be as follows. Instead, the word appears not uvecha as such, but it appears as, no, how do I do this? It appears as, okay, I ruined it. Here. It appears as uvecha. That word uvecha can look like bichia, to cry. You put a yud in between the chaf and the hey, it's ubichia. So they were crying. There's a lot of crying, a lot of screaming, a lot of panic, a lot of fright. Remember, the Egyptians had thrown little crying babies into the Nile. And if you're superstitious, you basically are imagining that the ghosts of these babies are morphing into these sea monsters coming out of the Nile, making noises or grabbing you. Either one, whether it's the noise of the alligators, you basically think it's the regenerated souls of the babies that you threw in crying. Now they're croaking. So there's a lot of association, a lot of panic, a lot of fear, a lot of unknown. More so than in Dom. In Dom, it's a very quiet maka. You know what you're facing. It turns into blood, and I have to deal with it. You try to dig. You try to. Here, there's a lot of panic that strikes it. I would say it's probably the most panicked maka. The tzvardeah, along with the arrow, probably causes, and of course, makas bucharos, probably cause the most panic. And I think we think a lot about the panic we're under and what type of panic is legitimate, what type of panic is not so legitimate. Generally, panic is a very dangerous trait, and we have to avoid it. Here, it's so unknown that it's hard to even avoid it because they're always moving the goalposts, and every day things change, and today's decisions turn out to be meaningless tomorrow. So I wouldn't call it panic. It's just lack of grounding, lack of anger. I'm not panicking. I don't feel like I'm panicking. I just don't know what tomorrow will bring. So I can't take precautions, which is normally the opposite of panic. So I think that's the second part where Tzvardeah and the coronavirus crisis overlap. The third part, I would say, is the word, actually, it's an interesting word that appears when Moshe warns Paro. Anochi nogef et kol givulcha batzvardeim. I'm going to give you a negev. Now, negev is actually the closest word in Hebrew for a plague or an infestation, magifa. nogev. It's called gevulcha bat svardeim. So, for example, a virus is called a negif. So what's viral about the frogs? So I'll talk about this in a moment, but Chazal understand that they just ran out of room. There was just so many, they just didn't have space to be. And you see this by the constant emphasis on the gevul and the aretz. Anochi nogev es kol gevulcha. Take a look at these psukim. Your entire boundary, your entire space will be full. And they will batichas es eretz Mitzrayim. They will cover all of eretz Mitzrayim. I'm reading a few words in succession, different psukim. Vaya'alu es hatzvardeim al eretz Mitzrayim. There's such an accent on eretz Mitzrayim as eretz Mitzrayim kol gevulcha. Of course, all the makos took place in Mitzrayim, but yet makas svardeh is an attack on the land and the space. And the word nogef here means to push you. There's a pasuk in Mishpatim that uses the word chayigov to mean pushing. Basically, the frogs or the crocodiles, aside from killing a nuisance and croaking, there's no room. There was such an kingdom you can step on. Arba you can live with. It's a nuisance. But could you imagine if the entire ground is full? Let's just assume it's frogs. There's no place to step. You can step on frogs. They move. You'll slip. So there's just, you don't have a space to live. You don't have, you're basically shut in into a very, very limited space. So think about what's happened to us over the last couple of weeks, which our space has shrunk, and the space we normally inhabit, the base matters, the shuls, the markets, the places we go to, we no longer have space, and human beings without space don't function well. So that's the third part of Makas Tzvardeya to think about. How do human beings react when their space is taken? How do human beings react when they're thrown into panic? How do human beings react when there's a penetration even to the safe place of the home? Now, there's one medrash I want to share. I'm still working it through, but it's a beautiful medrash, and maybe you'll think about some ideas and you'll chat or you'll send me an answer. At one point, the Torah describes one svardeya, vatal hatzifardeya, one svardeya. Now, the description is of hundreds of millions of svardim that covered the land, that penetrated every living quarter, even the bathrooms, even the bedrooms. So Rabbi Akiva has a drasha. Let me actually see if I can find the drasha. It's such a famous, famous drasha. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, here it is. Rabbi Akiva says there was one svardeya, and that one svardeya produced millions of baby svardeyas. So there's one svardeya that started this process, and that produced millions of babies. At which point, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, our friend Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah from the Haggadah, says, Rabbi Akiva, what are you doing teaching medrash? Go back and teach halacha. That's your forte. Klach lecha itzel negoyim ve'olos. Go back to teaching meseches olos and negoyim. Stop teaching us midrashim. This isn't your strong point. This isn't your finest hour. One svardeya producing millions, and he reinterprets it to mean that one svardeya called all the others, that like croaked and shrieked and all the others came rather than giving birth to one. Rabbi Akiva's image is a very powerful one, one producing millions. This entire epidemic, it's hard to know, it's hard to say, but it could have been caused by one person. Just think about it. Think about what that means about life, the power of one to create many, and the power of one to impact millions negatively, whether it's one frog or one person. And then think about the power of one person to change the world productively. Invert the makna. So these are four things that I thought about when I started reading Svardeya today. Number one, penetration of safe places. What does that do to us? What does it do to our sense of safety? Through panic and fright, loud. Actually, our world is much quieter than it used to be, but it's a lot more panic. We're running from decision to decision, not from place to place and from loud to loud. Number three, not the panic, and not just the penetration, but what happens if you just don't have room and you're being forced into places you don't like occupying? And then, what about one producing many? Okay, so tomorrow night we'll meet at the same time. We'll talk a little bit about Kenan. We're getting closer to Corona. Obviously, Kenan and Dever are the closest. Mirtz Hashem will send out a link. And it seems like we've been able to to get control of this chat room, and I'll start opening things up in a day or two. But I'm assuming that the algorithms that are searching for open Zoom chats, and once I get off my trail, they're going to someone else. Okay, take care, guys. Have a good, healthy, and safe night.